As you're seated, you could take your Bible and go to John chapter number 13. And we're going to continue a series here in February on a series called Picking Up the Towel. And I think you'll see why we call it that here in just a moment. John chapter number 13, if you're using the church Bible there in front of you, that's page number 1116. 1116, page 1116 in the church Bible. That'll take you to John chapter 13. And how many of you in here this morning would be just completely brutally honest with me and say, Pastor Dan, I would like to have a life, not with just moments of joy, I would like to have a life that's kind of just day in and day out, I'm full of joy. How many of you would like that? Be honest, raise your hand. You just want a life full of joy. You're like, I'm all in on that, right? How many of you would answer this? How many of you would say, Pastor Dan, I want to know that my life is having true positive impact on others. I want to feel like my life has some meaning and purpose to it. Raise your hand if that's you. Great, that's awesome. I think all of us are in the same boat, right? We all want that. We want joy. We want to have a life of meaning and purpose. Nobody wants to be miserable. Nobody wants to feel like their life has no meaning and no purpose to it. But today, I'm going to show you the key to both those. Jesus Christ... Jesus had an incredible impact on people when he lived on this earth. Would y'all agree with that? Say amen, huh? Would you guys agree he's still having impact on people today? Man, I know he has my life. Jesus Christ is still impacting people. And one of the main reasons that he had such an impact and continues to have an impact is exemplified. The reason why is exemplified right here in John 13. Look at verse number 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Skip down to verse number 12 with me. After it's all over, it says, so after he had washed their feet, he washed all 12 feet, all 12 of them's feet. It says, and had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verse 17, if you know these things, and then what's the next word? Happy, thanks church. Happy are ye if ye, and what's the last two words? Do them. The key to joy, the key to having a life of impact is exemplified. Christ was the greatest servant that ever lived. He lived a life full of service. And we said, how can we be like Christ? How can we pick up the towel? How can we pick up the basin? How can we serve like Christ? And we began to look at this 2 weeks ago, and in your handout is a little bit of a review there. And we saw that Christ's love led him to serve. He loved him to the end, verse 1 said. His love led him to serve. And when you got a heart full of love, it always leads you to serve. But number 2, we said that Christ served the unworthy. Let me ask you a question, church. Did Jesus Christ wash the feet of Judas Iscariot according to that text? Yes. He wasn't worried about who was worthy and who wasn't. He just served. The third thing, though, we looked at last week was this. Christ was not too big to serve. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was come from the Father, was going to the Father. All things were in his hands. Everything was at his fingertips. Y'all that were here last week, you remember that beautiful rendition I gave you of he's got the whole world in his hands. Remember that? And he did. Everything was in his hands. Everything was in his hands. But he was not too big to serve. But the fourth thing I want to show you today is this. The final thing is this. Number four, Christ's attitude was, why not me? He got up from supper, he grabbed a towel, puts it on, fills the basin full of water, and he got to work. You know, a lot of people talk a good talk, but there isn't a lot of action. Jesus did talk a good talk. If you look it up here, look at Matthew. Let's go ahead and bring that up, guys. Look at this. Jesus said this right before what we're reading here in the upper room. And notice what he said. He said, Jesus called them unto him, calls the 12. And he said, he's going to draw an analogy to the world. He says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, in other words, those in leadership, he says, the princes of the Gentiles, they exercise dominion over them. He says, and they that are great, he said, they exercise authority upon them. In other words, they use their power to boss people around and manipulate people, and they use their power in order to get people to do what they want them to do. He says, but Jesus said, it shall not be so among you. He said, for whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? Minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. But Jesus wasn't all talk. He picked up the towel. And his attitude was, why not me? Why not me? His attitude was not, why me? Why do I have to do this? You've probably heard that, right, many times. Why me? Why do I have to do this? Any parents ever hear that from their kids? Why me? Why do I have to do this? And adults, we do the same thing, right? We're overgrown kids. We do the same thing. And Jesus could have been that way. He could have been like, everybody's feet in here is nasty. They're all dirty, but why me? I am the King, the Master, the Redeemer, the Lord. I'm the Savior of the world. Why can't one of you guys in here just take the initiative and do this thing? Why should I have to do it? And wouldn't it have been easy to say, because he already knew what was in his heart, you over there. Now, you, and he points to Judas Iscariot, you're a traitor, you do it. Then he looks over at Peter. You're a foul-mouthed fisherman that's going to curse and swear and deny me tonight, you do it. Hey, Thomas, you're a doubter, you get down here and do this. Oh, James and John. James and John, you sent your mama to me to get a better position in the kingdom. You guys really need a dose of humility. Now you get down there and clean those feet. That'll be good for you. But why me? Jesus could have said. Why should I do it? And of course, that's what we hear many times from people. Why me? Why should I do that? I get tickled in church work, you know. There's things that have to be done, right, at church for a church to function. A church is about, you know, the community and serving and getting the work of God done. So it takes people to get the job done. And it's so I get tickled through the years because sometimes, and now not all the time, and we got some of the best seniors in the whole world at this church, but through the years, I mean, I've been at this a long time, I have heard before from senior adults, let the young people do it. They got energy. I've paid my dues, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. I've paid my dues. Hey, Jesus, you know your death on the cross? Hey, we're good now. I paid you back. We're all paid up, Jesus. I've done enough now. You're paid up for, you know, for rescuing me and saving my soul. We're all paid up. I've paid my dues. We're good. But you know what I hear young people say? I hear young people say, they're retired, they got lots of time, let the old people do it. They got lots of time, I'm busy. You know, they're retired, let them do it. So both groups have a reason why the other group ought to be doing it. And so easy to get the attitude, why me? You know, and Christ's attitude, my point is that Christ's attitude was, why not me? I'll serve. There were 13 men in the upper room. But Jesus' attitude was, why not me? I got it. I know how to wash feet. Been doing it since I was a kid. I know all about it. I know how to do it. I got this. Why not me? Jesus loved and he had a servant's heart, but my point is that he did something about it. And in your handout, it says that love, when you have love and you have a heart of service, it requires action. You got to be like Jesus. You got to pick up the towel. You got to get at it. You know, it's like they need help in the nursery. Miss Colleen, Pastor Rob, who was up here earlier, his wife's over the nursery. They need help in the nursery. And your first thought is, no way, I'm not doing that. I mean, whatever reason. Let the women with babies do that. I've paid my dues. I'm not doing that. And then all of a sudden, God starts to work in your heart and you begin to look at everything differently because the heart of Christ is starting to just take over. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, you know what? Why not me? You know what? I love babies. I know how to wipe a bottom. Why not me? I got this. I can do that once a month. No problem. A widow needs her yard mowed. And you're like, you know what? I know how to push a mower. I can do that. I got it. Why not me? Somebody's moving. And, you know, your life group's like, hey, they need some help moving. And we got to move boxes and we got to, you know, either take them in or take them off the truck. And your first thought is, I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to take time on my day off or this or that. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? God's blessed me with a good back. Why not me? Yeah, I'll help. You know, when we were taking down Bethlehem, right? When we put it up, we had about 70 or 80 guys out to put it up. It's exciting. We're putting up Bethlehem. Oh. Then in January, it's got to come down. And it's funny, people aren't as excited to take it down as to put it up. So, you know, we got 70 or 80 guys to put it up, about 20 guys to take it down. And most of them are seniors. And thank God for those 20 guys that said, why not me? You know, I'm off Saturday. I can take a couple hours and give it to the Lord to go help. It's got to come down. Can't stay up all year. It's got to get done. Why not me? I got it. And we had about 20 guys came out and did it. Would have gone a lot faster with 70. But thank God for the 20 that picked up the towel and said, why not me? That's what I'm talking about. It's interesting that, you know, Jesus did this all by himself, according to the text. His attitude was, why not me? It wasn't even, why not us? And I could see, and you could see, why, you know, it'd been easy to say, why not us? And he could have started giving orders, and he could have had the disciples help him. He could have been like, man, our feet are nasty. They are dirty. This has got to get done. Hey, you, Peter, you go get the water and fill the basin. And James, you go get the towel. And John, I want you to bring the towel and the basin over here to me. And then I want you to wash his feet, and then you're going to wash his feet. You're going to wash his feet. You're going to wash his feet, and you're going to wash his feet. It wasn't even why not us? It was why not me? You know, it's a great joy when people come alongside us and they help us in our service to the Lord. But we got to have that Christ-like attitude. You know what? If nobody helps me, I'm still serving. Sometimes we serve in a certain area of ministry and we wonder, we're like, why? I don't understand why more people won't get involved. I don't understand why more people won't help. And it's very easy to get a martyr's complex. But we have to remember that the issue is your heart and the issue is your service. Remember, Jesus picked up the towel and he served by himself. And even if nobody helps, and even if nobody sees you, and even if your service goes unrecognized, just keep on serving God. Because I got news for you, God sees, God notices, and that's enough. You don't need somebody to get an Instagram shot of you every time you serve. We don't have to put it on Facebook every time we serve. Amen. I'm at it again. Just serve with... Just serve with no strings attached, you know? Because one day, we're going to all stand personally accountable for the service that we have rendered for Christ. That day of accountability, by the way, there's a name for it. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. You may get the wrong idea of that. The judgment seat of Christ, there won't be any lost people there. It's only for saved people. And specifically, it's only for saved people that have been saved in the church age, this time of grace. And so it's going to happen when we're raptured up, we're caught up to meet him in the air, the Lord comes back for the church, then all the dead in Christ will rise first. We that are alive and remain will be caught up. We'll meet the Lord in the air. Well, the Bible teaches, though, that right after the event of the rapture, there's going to be an event called the judgment seat of Christ. And it's for saved people. And it's only going to deal with your actions from the time you got saved forward. And there'll be an accountability for what you did with each day of your life after you got saved. Your priorities, how you served in your life. And the Bible teaches there'll be rewards. Some people will suffer loss. There's a verse in your handout that talks about it. Look at it with me. Romans chapter 14. It's on the back side of your handout. It says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why do you set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand," notice, "for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give account of" who? "Himself." Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This same event is mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to bring it on the screen and let's look at it. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." He's writing to the church. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we are all going to have to face the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account for how we have served. The Bible says you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's God's plan. That's God's will for your life, is to do good works. And when we stand before the Lord one day, that's a sobering thought. I know that it is. But just as sure as you woke up this morning, and just as sure as you got out of bed and came here, there will be a day in time when you will have to stand and face the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to call your name. And when he calls your name, it's going to be similar to this. Luke Rich. Come here. Come here, Luke. He had no idea I was going to do this. I just woke him up. I'm sorry, Luke. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't asleep. And Luke Rich is going to come. Luke Rich. And he will come and he will stand right here. And you will look Jesus Christ in the eye. And you will give an account for how you lived your life after you got saved. He'll give an account for what he did with the gifts he was given, the abilities, the time he was given. He will give an account from the time he got saved forward. And I know that's something that maybe we don't want to hear, but I'm not a faithful pastor if I don't tell you that day's coming. I tell you because I love you. And I tell you because what you're doing every day matters. And one day, the books is going to be opened. And you're going to have to stand and look Jesus Christ, your Savior, in the eye. And you're going to have to give an account. And the Bible says, "For we must," and what's the next word? "All appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Thank you, Luke. You did good, man. Sorry to scare you like that. He's like, "Man, when that happens, it can't be any worse than that." Amen. I knew he didn't mind. That's why I picked on him. But serving God is serving others. And there comes a point when we have to quit talking about it, thinking about it, and we have to do like Jesus, and we gotta get up, we gotta grab the towel, grab the basins, just start serving. We got to be like Jesus and say, "Why not me?" and get at it. We're like, "You know what? Put me down on the list. I've been on the thinking stage a long time about this. Pastor Rob, put me on the list. Put me down. I'm going to serve." Or Pastor Rich or whoever it is. I want you to notice, go back to verse 4, and I want you to notice something interesting. Look at verse number 4. You may not have picked up on this. "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself." How many of you, be honest, God's here. He's watching. How many of y'all love to sit down and eat a good meal? Raise your hand if you like to do that. Come on. Now, be honest. How many of you just love to clean up afterwards? Be honest. Denise is a great cook. She is an amazing cook. And she says, the only time I've probably ever heard her complain is she'll say to me, you know, I don't mind cooking all day a meal. And she said, I love to do it, and I love to see y'all enjoy it. She said, if I just didn't have all the mess afterwards. But you know, Jesus got up from supper. And it's almost like, and I got the table and chairs up here today because I want to paint kind of an image on your mind that he's sitting around this table and he's enjoying this meal. They're having supper. And he's enjoying this meal and they're eating. And then the Bible says that when he was done eating, the Bible says he pushed away from the table. And he got up and he's like, you know what? This has been great. I've enjoyed this great food. But now it's time to serve. Now it's time to expend some energy on others. So he pushes away, he rises up, and the Bible says that he goes over here and he gets this basin and he fills it up with water and he picks up the towel, and the Bible says that he took the towel and he girded himself. And then he takes the basin and he goes over here and he stoops down and he starts washing the feet of the disciples. And I mean, I think it's very easy for us to see the application here. Very easy to see the application. Many believers, and I'm not just talking about our church, I'm talking about all churches. Many believers will sit in the same seat at church week after week, year after year. And they fill up on all the good spiritual food that's being offered up. And that's great. We want that. We enjoy the messages. We enjoy the life group. We enjoy the Bible Institute classes. We enjoy the choir. We enjoy the music. We enjoy all the, you know, the conferences and the retreats and the different things that we have. And we fill up. And that's great. We want you to. But God's plan is for a believer to not only take in, but to give back out. That's God's plan. I mean, think about this. Everybody breathe in real quick. Breathe in again. Breathe in again. Don't breathe out. Breathe in again. Don't breathe out. That doesn't work out, does it? You were created to breathe in and breathe what? Out. To give back out. And we were created to not just take in, but to pick up the towel and serve. And in your handout, it says that we cannot continue to just sit at the table eating. We got to get up out of our seat. We have to be like Jesus. We have to say, okay, you know what? I've enjoyed some great spiritual food, but now it's time to serve. And if you aren't serving anywhere, I encourage you, you know, to find that place. Serve on purpose. Get committed. You know, here's the deal. When you serve on purpose, that means that you're doing it consistently. Usually with others, and you're not just doing it when the urge hits you, because the urge might only hit you a few times a year, right? You're consistently giving back out. And you know, it's like we sit in church, and it's like the analogy here of sitting around the table enjoying a great meal. And we should do that. We need to worship God together corporately, enjoy the worship, enjoy the music, enjoy the message, enjoy the life groups, enjoy all the great spiritual food that we're getting. We need to do that. But then there comes a point where we just have to push away from the table. We got to push away from the table. And we got to say, okay, that was great. But now it's time to get up. And it's time to grab the towel. And it's time to serve. Okay, hey, I've enjoyed some great spiritual food here, but push away from the table, get up. Why? I got to head over to the tent, help Pastor Rob. I got to head over to the children's building. I got to head to the nursery. I got to head to my usher's post. And it may not even be anything here. That list we gave you is just a suggestion. We do that every month. That may not even be here on property. It doesn't have to be anything on that list. It may be something out in the community that you do, that you volunteer to do. That's great. Hey, recently we had some ladies. I'll bring a picture of these ladies went out, and there's some deputies in this city that do training for all the other police officers. And some ladies from our church in this life group went and took an entire meal to these deputies to show their appreciation. That's what I'm talking about. You give back out. You serve. Y'all remember Hurricane Matthew? When Hurricane Matthew hit in the fall, that's why we lost our sign out front. That sign's been held up by 4x4s since Hurricane Matthew. Literally, it completely was demolished on the inside. So it's being fixed and refurbed. That's why there's no sign out front, in case any of you wondered what happened to our sign. Hey, somebody stole our sign, you know? But when Hurricane Matthew hit, we didn't have church that night. And so Denise and I and Clayton and Caleb, so let's just walk through the neighborhood. Let's just see who needs help. So we just walked through the neighborhood all Sunday afternoon and just trying to help. It's like, I got a good back. Caleb's like, I got a good back. Clayton's like, I got a good back. Denise, she supervised. And no, she talked to the ladies. And we just went from house to house helping people. It was awesome. It was really awesome. I mean, it was so cool. I mean, we're just walking. All four of us walking down the street. We're like the A-team, you know, going through the neighborhood. You need some help? All right, here we come. But there just comes a point where you got to push away from the table and you got to pick up the towel like Jesus and just have the Christ-like attitude. Why not me? I got it. Yeah, I know young people should be doing this, but I got it. Yeah, I know the retired people ought to be doing this, but I got it. And there comes a point where we just got to put away the excuses and just say, I got it. I can do this. Now, I know you can't do everything. And we got people at our church that do 4 and 5 different things. And there comes a point where you can't do everything. And there comes a point. But here's the difference, is it's a mindset issue. When there's a need, your first thought is not, I'm not doing that. I'm already. No, your first thought is, well, wait a minute. Maybe why not? Why not me? Now, you may at the end of it saying, I can't do that because of whatever reason. But it's a whole Christ-like mindset, though, of, hey, at least I want to consider it. At least I want to think about it. Let's read verses 4 and 5 one more time. It says, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. It's powerful, isn't it? One day, a pastor was approached by a man, and the man said to the pastor, he said, Pastor, I believe I want to be a member of your church. The pastor said, that's great. The man said, but wait a minute. He said, one thing I need to make clear is he said, I am a very busy man, and so I do not want to be called upon for any service, like serving on a committee, teaching a Bible class, singing in the choir, doing any visitation. I'm a busy man, and I don't have time for that. I want to be spared from anything that would require time. And don't expect me to be at all the worship services either, because I'm a busy man. And the pastor thought for a moment. And he said, you know what? I think you're at the wrong church. He said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I think I know the perfect church for you. The guy said, oh, really? He said, yeah. And so the pastor gave him the directions, and the guy, you know, took the directions, and pretty soon he came face to face with the perfect church for him. And here it was. An abandoned, run down, closed up church. I don't want to do anything. Perfect church. In your handout, it says that a church where the people have no heart to serve is a dead church. It's a dead church. But in your handout, it says there's no limit to what a church can accomplish if the people have a servant's heart like Christ. And their attitude is, why not me? I got it. We said it's the key to a life of joy, the key to a life of impact. Because when you spend day after day on yourself, you'll be empty for the rest of your life. But when you invest your life in others, you'll be filled. It's the joy of making a difference in somebody else's life and being used by God.